Emily Farrell. I am a member here at Meridian. I've been here for about 2 years now, but I'm also the assistant director at Camp Challenge. So I live there full time, and I'm getting kids registered, and I'm super excited. So when I found out that Camp Challenge and Meridian were kind of, you know, like my time to speak at Meridian and Camp Challenge Day all rolled into one, I was super excited because we're in a sermon series right now at Meridian. I know we have some guests here today, but if you have been here the past few weeks, you know that we're in a series called Not All Alone, right? And it comes from the term all alone, which is the one another's, right? We're learning how to love one another, how to provide for one another. Jesus uses that word over and over and over again, the one another's. And that's what we've been talking about today. And at Camp Challenge this summer, our theme is light. And specifically, the church, like this whole group, right? The church being the light of the world. So I found out that just so happens my verse that for my life, and it kind of fits into both of these categories, and so that's what we're going to be going over today. But before we get started, I want to kind of explain how this service is going to work. Okay, I was inspired by Brandon a couple weeks ago when he came and he sat in a chair and he had just a little conversation with us when he spoke, and I thought that was really cool. But I'm a kind of person, I like to talk back. Okay, maybe not necessarily in a rude way, but I like to talk, as you'll find out. And so I was like, that would be really fun, but like, I want to answer the questions that he's asking. Like, I want to participate. So I was like, well, what if when I speak, we give a chance for everyone to kind of talk amongst themselves and kind of process what they're learning as we go. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions throughout today. So I want you to find someone near you. If there's no one near you, I want someone else to look around and be like, oh, that person is, you know, there's no one around them to talk to, so I'm going to go sit next to them. So just be ready to do that when we start talking about these questions. If you find someone who doesn't have someone to talk to, go seek them out, okay? Sound good? All right. And the other thing before we get started that you need to know about me, some of my like best friends in the whole world are here. You guys know me really well, and I have a feeling that some of you guys have gotten to know me just through my time here. But there's something super important about me that you need to know, you might not know, before we start today. And that is this. I love mysteries, okay? Like, I love mysteries so much. And I just want to put this in context for you. So growing up, I read every single Nancy Drew book that I could get my hands on, both the original ones, like you see here. The Hidden Staircase was my favorite, by the way. I read every single one, and I read all the new ones. They came out with like a new version, and I bought and owned all of those. When I was little, my favorite TV show was a TV show called JAG. I don't know if any of you guys remember the show JAG, which is not a show that 8-year-olds would like. It's a courtroom drama. But I loved it so much. It was by far my favorite TV show. My favorite game was Clue. These are all true facts about me. My favorite game was Clue, which is so hard for a 7-year-old to win, right? But I loved it still the same, even though I don't think I ever won a game of Clue with our family, but I loved it so much. And even today, like, I love true crime podcasts, and I love the mysteries, I love the stories, even to the point where I am a person who named my car, because I'm a 20-year-old girl, and we do that, and I named my car Watson, like, from Sherlock Holmes, Dr. John Watson. So I love mysteries, okay? I just need to make that overwhelmingly clear, because I just think what we're going to talk about today, we're talking about a mystery. So the first question I want to ask you is a little bit lighter. I want you guys to talk amongst yourself. Do you like mysteries? Do you not like mysteries? What do you like about it? What's your favorite mystery story? So I'm going to give you a couple minutes. Turn to a friend, turn to a neighbor, and kind of talk through that, okay? All right. Okay, awesome. I'm glad you guys, it sounds like some of you maybe really like mysteries, like me too. I saw some hands about Nancy Drew in the back. I love that. So like I said, you know, I love mysteries, and there's something so fun about discovering clues and asking questions and digging until you find the truth. And while finding the truth and like getting to the end of the mystery makes it all worthwhile, I even just like the process of it, right? I like researching. I like those things. And it even applies to my love for scripture, right? I like digging into scripture. You guys know that about me. I'm kind of a nerd in that way. I love it. And so when I came across the scripture that we're going to be talking about today, it just kind of, I really resonated with it from what I want my life to be and what I want my ministry to be. And that is from Colossians 2, 2 through 4. And we're actually going to be looking at a couple different versions today. The first one is the NIV, and the second one is the NASB. So if you have those, you can pull them up. Or if you have a different version that you prefer, you can pull that up too. But those are the ones that are going to be on the screen today. But before we dive into the word, I'm going to pray for us. I'd like to pray before we learn about the word of God and just thank God for his word. So bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all the people in this room, and thank you for your holy scripture. Thank you for giving us clues to help understand your mystery. God, I pray that as we dive into what you have for us today, that you will give me the words to speak. I pray that my words honor you, and I pray that we can come to a true conclusion about your word and your scripture today. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and read Colossians 2, 2 through 4, and the NIV, and I'm going to read that for us really quick. So it says, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you from fine-sounding arguments." Okay, now I want to go to the NASB really quick and read that too. So just so you know, the NIV is a little more clearer in understanding. NASB gets really wordy, and the scripture gets really wordy. But don't worry, I'm going to break it down for you guys. But I want you to hear this one because it has an interesting line that I want to talk about. So it says, "My goal is that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and that they would attain to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments." All right, so a couple of things that we're going to talk about here. When I read this verse, I loved the imagery of coming to know the mysteries of God. This idea, because I'm something of a sleuth myself, I like to consider myself a good detective, I always had a passion for digging into those scriptures. So reading this, it kind of made me resonate that something, it was beautiful to like that passion to want to know more about God. And I think all of us, even if you're not a fan of, you know, like really diving into scriptures, maybe like I am, I think we all kind of have this knowledge. We want to know more about God, right? We want to know him better. We want to understand him better. You know, that's the desire in all of us. And I think this puts it so beautifully that there are treasures hidden in the nature and character of God. And there's a mystery of God, and we have the power to understand that mystery, to solve that mystery. And what's cool is that the author here is Paul. And Paul is writing to a church that he's never attended before. So he knows some of the people there, and he's heard of the work that they're doing. So he's writing to a specific church just to encourage them, right? And so he said, you know, "My goal and my prayer and my heart for you is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love, and so that you may come to know the mysteries of God." And I think that's really interesting because while there were teachers there and there are people who are qualified, obviously, to teach the word of God, Paul was a revered teacher in that time, and he wasn't able to go see them in person, right? And so they had to learn those mysteries for themselves, and Paul could only write so much down, right? He couldn't write everything there is to know, everything that Paul has learned. So he's saying, my prayer for you is that you would be encouraged in heart and united in love so that you yourselves could come to know these things without me. You could discover them for yourselves. And I think that's cool, right? Because we don't have a Paul today, right? You know, we have each other. We have Pastor Daniel, and he's really great, and he helps us a lot. But, you know, there's still this idea of these early church fathers, these people who knew and saw Jesus. We don't have them, right? We're so far removed from that. And so I think this prayer can also apply to us, this prayer of being encouraged in heart and united in love. And what's cool is I'm going to take you back to school for a second. So some of you kids might be learning this in school right now. The idea when you're reading something, there is a cause and an effect. Or even in science, right? There's a cause and an effect. But the same is true in the Bible when they write sometimes. Sometimes they lay out a cause and then they give you an effect. So we're going to be talking about, there's a couple of them in here, and the main one I'm going to talk about today is this. So can we go back to the NIV version really quick? Cool. So it says, they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that. I know those are two little words, so that, but they're actually really important because that is what triggers us in our mind when we see words like that or we see words like therefore. A lot of times that is triggering a thought in our brain to say, okay, there is a cause here and there's an effect here. So if we want to know the mysteries of God, namely Christ, if we want to know that, and we want to find those treasures of wisdom and knowledge, we have to have the cause first, right? And if we go back, that cause is to be encouraged in heart and united in love. Does it make sense? All right, so what I love here is Paul gives us two huge clues, right? He's giving us a major clue, a major blinking red light that says, look here, do this. If you want to know about God, do this right here. And I think that's cool. So we're going to look at those two things. We're going to look at those two clues a little bit more closely. So the first clue is to be encouraged in heart. So the Greek word for encouraged here is a word that can mean a few different things. The first way is really similar to the way that we think about encouraging now. It's the idea of building someone up, strengthening someone, giving them compliments, right? Building them up, strengthening, fortify. But it can also mean comforted, which I think is really interesting. To encourage someone is to provide comfort, to relieve them of a hardship. It can also be interpreted as that way. And I think when we're talking about encouragement, in the church specifically, sometimes it's like, I love getting compliments, right? I love when people like me, and I like that. But sometimes I need someone to just like help me out, and that is the most encouraging thing someone can do for me, is just understand like I'm going through it. When I was thinking about this, encouraged in heart, the young adults had the opportunity to go to a young adult retreat at Camp Challenge. And I'm the one who picked out what we're going to be talking about, and it was Psalm 23 and restoring the soul, and I was super excited about it. But to be honest, like, I didn't realize how discouraged I was until I got there. And that's not to say that Camp Challenge was discouraging, right? But the fact is, I was living in a world that was discouraging. I don't know if you can relate to that at all, right? But recently, I felt pretty discouraged about a lot of things. And so when I got there, I got into this community of believers who they were, you know, just sitting with me and we were talking, we were laughing, sharing experiences. They were telling me what God was teaching them. We were sharing meals together. And I can't describe in words how I felt, how my soul was refreshed and encouraged and restored in that time. And I think a lot of the young adults would probably agree with that. It was such a healthy thing because I was around believers who were encouraging me. And not just like paying me compliments, right? But saying like, I understand. Like, I'm there with you. And I think it led me to this conclusion, right? That the reality is we as fellow believers have a way to encourage one another in a way that is so holy and unique than the world. And while we can encourage people in the world and they can also encourage us, maybe on like a surface level way, that deep encouragement, that deep comfort comes from other believers, right? There's something special about saying like, we follow the same God. and I'm here for you, and I understand you, and I see how special that God has made you. And I think that because we both serve the same God, we have a responsibility to encourage our fellow believers, right? And not just one person doing all the encouraging for everyone, but taking turns. You know, at the retreat, we talked about filling up our buckets, right? Our emotional buckets. And we talked about how sometimes, you know, we have to pour out and help others, and sometimes we need to let others pour into us. So this leads me to my next question, which is, I want you to brainstorm with the people around you a way that you can encourage someone in Christ this week, okay? So come up with ideas. You don't have to pick one, but like, what are ways that you have felt encouraged in the past? Some things like, you know what? When someone did that for me, that really encouraged me. And I want you to brainstorm a way that you can do that this week, like within the next 7 days, okay? So talk about that amongst yourselves for a quick second. Okay. And these might be some questions that we need to process together, maybe over lunch. Maybe we need to process with ourselves, right? But I just want you to start thinking about it, okay? So the next clue that we have, right, we had two major clues on how to discover the mystery of God. And the next one is to be united in love. So I want to talk about this. I love the NASB talks about, instead of united in love, it says being knit together in love, right? Being sewn together. It's like woven together. And I love that imagery. Instead of just united, I think it paints a very clear picture. And this is actually closer to how it was written in the text than united, right? Knit together in love. That is exactly how Paul described it. And we talk a lot here at Meridian about remembering, right? The idea that when we take communion or when we come to church, we're remembering what God has done, but also we are remembering, we're rejoining ourselves with the church and with the body of believers. And so I love this picture because this is what Paul is talking about, right? Being knit together in love, being woven together. And it reminded me of when I first learned to crochet. Do we have any like knitters or crocheters in here? Anybody? Yeah, a couple of you guys. So I'm not a great crocheter, okay? I'm just gonna be completely honest about that. But when I was learning, my mom, she crochets a lot, and I wanted to learn. And so she started me making just chains. So I would just literally take yarn and just make one long chain, right? And it was cool, and I felt like I was accomplishing something. But the reality is, if you just have a ball of yarn that you just turn into a chain of yarn, it still is not very helpful, right? Like, you can't do much with that. Because the reality is, a chain is just one link connected to two other links on either side. And it's not very useful. But as I started to get better at crocheting, my mom taught me different stitches or different patterns. And suddenly, not only was I able to connect those links on either side, I was able to connect them up and down, right? Or even like really advanced people who are better than me, they can do forwards and backwards. And all of a sudden, instead of just one chain of random yarn or one ball of yarn, you have a scarf or a blanket or a sweater, right? It gives it purpose when it's connected to things. And I think this is a really good picture for the church, because sometimes when we talk about community or we're connected, we're just one giant chain, right? Like, I am here at church and I have two friends. And maybe one of my other friends knows one other person, and one of my other friends knows one other person, and we just end up being a giant chain that has no connection to any of the other links in the chain, right? But when we start to learn those different patterns, and we start to make those connections, we start to build out, we start to make patterns, we start to become something useful, right? We start to become a sweater in the name of the Lord, right? And so I think it's really interesting that you know, this is what God has called us to do, not just to become some giant chain of people, right? But to knit ourselves together to become useful and to fulfill a purpose. So my next brainstorm idea is, this is a little bit hard. I'm going to give you a little bit more time to do this. But what are some ways, like, how do you feel about the idea of knitting together our community? What are some ways that you think you can knit together our community here at Meridian, or in your community if you're a guest? What are some ways that you can knit together the community and stop becoming those little chains, but becoming a sweater, for lack of a better word? All right, so I'm going to let you guys talk about that for a second. I know that's kind of a big one, but start talking about it. Just what comes to mind? Brainstorming. No bad answers. Okay, we're going to go ahead and bring it back. I know that's a big question, right? And again, some of these aren't just going to be answers so you can talk, but I want to get your mind going. I want you to brainstorm ideas of how can you start solving these clues, right? How can you start participating in this? So now that we know our two clues, let's go back to our why, right? What's our effect? Why do we do this? What's the reason? You know, how does this work? That's my big question I'm always asking, like, why does this work? And here's the thing, I believe that when we are encouraged in heart and emboldened in spirit, we get to find little pieces of the nature and character of God, right? Like, God is so big, he's so infinite, he has so many different facets of who God is, right? But what's interesting is that he cares about all of us individually, and he's teaching us all different things individually that apply to our life. And when we're encouraged in heart and emboldened in spirit, we get these pieces. But when we start making those connections, right, when we start really talking to other people, we realize, like, oh, you know, Maria's learned something about God that I haven't. And when I talk to Maria, she can teach me something about God. And when Rita's learned something about God that I haven't, or I've learned something about God that Rita hasn't. And we start to make these connections, and all of a sudden, we are a collective group of people that has all of these different pieces of God. And we start to see the true picture. We are uncovering the mystery because we are encouraged in God. We are pursuing God. We are emboldened in spirit, right? And on top of that, we're united. And so I'm not just getting all my individual little pieces, but I'm getting all of your guys' pieces. So we see a full picture of how to solve this mystery, right? Almost like a map. You're putting together all the pieces. So we all have something unique to offer and teach. Because God cares about us individually, and because when we are encouraged, he's showing us a piece of his character individually, that means everyone, no matter how old you are, no matter what you've been through, you have something unique to offer and teach other people about God. And I think that is incredible, right? So it's like, why are we not connecting with other people, right? If we want to know more about who God is, I want to see other pieces of his creation. I want to know what God is teaching them. Some other people have walked a different life than I have. That means they've learned different things than I have learned. And I want to know what they know about God, because they can teach me something that I've not discovered. So my next question is, who have you yet to learn from? Who have you not learned from yet? You know, are you interacting with people that you don't know? You know, or don't know their story? Are you volunteering in different areas of the church? Are you spending time with people both older and younger than you? And I'll tell you this right now, this is a shameless plug for our children's and youth ministries, right? They are popping right now. Like, we've got kids all over, right? Our children's ministry is really taking off. And so I want to say, like, what do you have to offer the youth of Meridian? What do you individually have to offer the youth of Meridian? Because you have something. I'll tell you that right now. You have something that you can teach the kids of Meridian, right? But the next thing is, what do you think the kids at Meridian can teach you, right? Because they're really smart, and they know a lot about God. And I guarantee you, they can teach you something about God that you either don't know or you've forgotten. So that is my challenge to you, right? How are you supporting our kids? Because kids, if you're sitting in there, if you're sitting here today, I want you to know that God has created you so special, and he is already teaching you stuff about him and his character that you can teach the adults in this room, right? Your voice is important, and you matter. And so I just want to say that right now before I move on. But I do want you to talk about this. And, you know, this might be a little bit hard to talk about, right? We don't like talking about things we're not good at. But the reality is, like, who are people that you still need to learn from? What's an area you're like, I have no idea about this, and I want to go find someone who does? So turn to your neighbor and talk about who have you yet to learn from. And if you're struggling to, like, be in those places with other people, why? What are those struggles? How can we help you overcome those struggles? Okay, so talk amongst yourselves. Brainstorm for a little bit. I know it's kind of hard, but talk about it. All right. So when we are encouraged in heart and united in love, we can come to know the mystery of God that is in Christ Jesus. I believe that wholeheartedly. And there's a fun bonus for you before we wrap up. I want to give you a bonus, right? Because Paul always leaves a lot of good little tips and tricks. And one thing that he is really passionate about is learning to identify false teachers in the church, right? Like, he's really passionate about that, and he wants people to be able to know when someone is trying to sell them a version of Jesus that is not consistent with the character of God. So he says, if we go back, I'm going to have you jump again one more time, Martha. I'm so sorry. Can we jump back to that NIV version? Yeah, so sorry. Thank you. Okay, so it says, my goal is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so you may come to the full riches of a complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you from fine-sounding arguments. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you from fine-sounding arguments. Isn't it funny how how the church is stronger together? Who would have thought? Right? Who would have thought when we're picking up all these pieces, when I'm learning, you know, the God and the nature and character of God from all of these people, all of a sudden, I can look, when someone is trying to teach me a version of Jesus that isn't correct, the church can stand strong together and be like, that's not right. That's not who Jesus is. And we can identify that because we know who Jesus is, right? And I think it's really important. So if you're not a mystery person like me, if you're not into, you know, discovering the mysteries and solving all the clues, like, maybe this is your why. Maybe the reason why you should be encouraged in heart and knit together in love, maybe it's to keep the church strong and protected against false teachers. You know, if the knowledge of God isn't reward enough, you know, do it to protect the church. Do it to protect yourself from false teachers. So that's our little bonus for today. But as the band comes back up, I want to do something really quick. I want to pray this verse over you and over Meridian and over the large church as a whole. I want to pray this over you as a blessing. Thank you so much for letting me speak. Like I said, this verse means so much to me. It is my heart and soul and what I wish on all of you, and I pray for all of you. So I'm going to go ahead and read this for you, and then we'll call it a day. So bow your heads and pray with me. Dear God, thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for the people here today. And my prayer is that we may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so we may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that we may know mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. so that no one may deceive us by fine-sounding arguments. God, I pray that we would know that every single person in this room has something to offer and something to teach in the kingdom of God. I pray that our hearts and minds will be open and listening to those people. I pray that we will feel encouraged and emboldened to go out and knit our community together and encourage others and strengthen others. God, you are so good, and I'm so thankful for this opportunity. We'll give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name.